Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Okay, so I'm here, a bit nervous. I'm not normally standing here, I'm normally down there, right? So, but today I want to consider something which God, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, started to give me. And one of the disciples, a Galilean fisherman, known later as the Rock. You know who he is. He traveled with Jesus for 3 years. He saw people healed. He saw Jesus transfigured, later die and rise again. He was a simple man, simple faith, and he got things wrong. But when he fell, he got up again. And I think there are many things we can learn from Peter. And in the passage I consider today, we see Peter. We can probably put that one, right? We see Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water, Jesus calming the storm, and the miracle of the boat being on the other side. So let's first read the text. Can you see that? Yeah. But I'm going to have to do like this, I think. So immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him, begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. I drove down yesterday from Wales in a storm. That was kind of funny, speaking about storms today. It was terrible. We really couldn't see very far in front of us. And sometimes in a storm, you can't see. I remember once, have you ever been sailing? I went sailing in the Greek islands, and the boat was up and down, side to side. I was petrified. I thought I was going to be thrown overboard. But Peter was a fisherman. He was used to it. But I'm not sure I could really identify with Peter's terror in the storm until one day in China, in a big city, Tianjin, at noon, just as the students were all finishing classes and coming out, going for lunch, the sky turned yellow and then black, and it was as dark as night. The wind howled. The rain came down and dumped with it an inch or two on the ground of the Gobi Desert, a dust storm with rain and thunder and lightning. The students were terrified. They thought it was the end of the world. They really thought it was the end of the world. And Peter was possibly in the same. He was a fisherman. He was used to the sea. But we join the scene immediately after the beheading, let me backtrack a bit, of John the Baptist. And Jesus withdrew. Where did he go? He went privately to a solitary place. But the crowds heard about it and they followed him. And Jesus had compassion. So what did he do? He healed them. He prayed for them. And then they were in that lonely place. There was no food. You know the story. Jesus asked them to sit down in groups on the grass and asked the disciples, what food do we have? What did they have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And 5,000 men, plus the women and children, were fed that day. Can you imagine Peter's reaction? A roller coaster. It was actually bad news. They'd heard about the beheading of John the Baptist. How must they have felt? And then they had the amazing experience of seeing people healed and all those people fed. How would you have felt if that was you? If I imagine I'd had an opportunity to interview Peter, I think he would say something like, I felt a bit of a wreck. I mean, John the Baptist had just died. All these people had been healed of all sorts of things. And we just used 5 bread rolls and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people or more. Well, that was cool. I was on a real high. And then Peter would have continued telling the story. Jesus decided to go off on his own to pray. And in fact, Jesus had been interrupted in his withdrawal of prayer. He used to draw aside by himself, especially at those times, to be with his Father. It had been exciting. People had been healed. People had been fed. But he still needed to withdraw to be with his Father. So Peter said, if you listen to Peter telling the story, Peter would have said, he sent us ahead by boat to Gennesaret. It's not far, in fact, 2 miles by boat. But we got stuck in that storm. Verse 24 says, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Peter was a fisherman. He would have told me, if I'd interviewed him, I'd spent a lot of time at sea, but I was petrified. And the fear that my students felt that day, I guess Peter would have been something like that. They were in the middle of the sea. It was the darkest hour. It was the 4th watch, which was the last watch of night. It was the most dark time and very dangerous. They were some distance from the shore. The wind was going in all directions, swirling, the boat going up and down, side to side. It was darkness. It was night in the fierce storm. Perhaps we just pause here to consider, what storms do you have in your life? Waiting for medical results? We're waiting for that with my mum. We wonder if she's been falsely diagnosed, although I doubt it. Bullying, have you lost your job? Relationship challenges. Okay. This is a really ancient video clip. Very old.
Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Come.
We didn't leave him sinking anyway. What was it about Jesus that enabled Peter to step out of the boat? Think about it for a second. Why did he do it? How was it that he was able to do that? If you consider the timing, they were on the boat for 7 or 8 hours. They were on a journey that should have taken a couple of hours. It's around 3 in the morning, and they were battling in a storm. And then to make matters worse, they looked up, and they saw what they thought was a ghost. But what did Jesus say? Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. He is. Who was Peter walking to? He is the I Am, God's name. Jesus was in charge. In the fear, they needed courage. He gave them assurance, the opposite. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he? When you're in trouble, how is he with you? When you're in the storm, how is he with you? He's present. But what did he say? He said, it is I. It is I. Who is with you? What did Peter respond? He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. What's he saying to you? He's saying to you, come. Come to me, my child. It is I. Come in. So he stepped out in faith into the stormy waves, into the howling wind, and he walked to Jesus. But then he looked around. He took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And reached his hand out to pull Peter up. But Peter, firstly, obeyed Jesus. In the storm, after all they'd seen, they doubted. In your storm, are you doubting the very presence of God with you? They were fighting for their life in the storm. And sometimes our lives feel like that, fighting for our lives in the storm. But Jesus encouraged them. And Peter had a little bit of faith, so he stepped out and walked on the water. He obeyed, but he also took a risk. But he did slip. But Jesus didn't fail him. Peter just started to look at the situation. Are you looking at the situation instead of Jesus? Sometimes it's hard for us to obey, I think. We need courage. But we also need to take a risk. Peter took the risk. What boat do you need courage to get out of? Where do you need to take the risk? And what's he saying to you? What's he challenging you to do? In China, many people if you consider the days of the old missionary, Hudson Taylor. They were called by God and they went to China. They took that risk. They followed the call. They kept their eyes on Jesus. But risk also, in some cases, meant suffering or even loss. Hudson Taylor lost his wife and 3 children in China. They didn't come back. They died there. Risk. Are you willing to take that risk to go with Jesus, to follow him wherever he calls you to go? Whatever might happen. Will you? We can see the resolution. They stepped into the boat and the wind died down. They made their way to Gennesaret and people were healed again. I think Jesus knew the storm would have come and how long they'd be in the boat for. He knew they'd battle it out in that boat. But why did he send them into that difficult situation? I have no answers. Maybe to grow their faith, help them to take risk, obey. But we, if we step out, we can experience that abundant life. Are you in that storm? What kind of storm? Financial, relational, kids, I don't know. But remember what Jesus said to Peter. I am. Be of good courage. Remember what the slide is. Oop. Throughout my life, it seems that God has used a lot of storms, deserts, and recently trees. If you can ask me about that later. Life is messy. It's not easy. I think Peter and the disciples must have felt everything was against them. The wind was contrary. It was strong. How easily they forgot what they'd just seen with the feeding of the 5,000. For myself, I left home in the UK to obey God's call to China. It took obedience, courage, and risk. 20 years later, God called me back here again. And again, it took obedience, courage, and risk. And also surrender to his will. He very clearly told me to go. He very clearly told me to come back. It didn't mean that in either place, life would be easy. But I tell you one thing. He was so close in China and so amazing, but he is here too. God gave me this passage about Peter 3 years ago, maybe. I was in Thailand at the Jehoa conference, the organization I was with. Dad was sick. He's since passed away. And it just felt so hard to be apart, to be so far away. When he was so sick. And it seemed that we heard the song Oceans everywhere. You know the song Oceans? And now I look back, it seemed also that God was saying, he gave me the story of Peter. And Jesus said, you need to keep your eyes on me. You need to trust me, have faith in me, and be courageous. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. But with hindsight, I realized that's what he was saying. At the time, it was quite nice. That sounds funny. But the thing impressed me. Look into his eyes. The passage doesn't actually say Peter looked into his eyes, but I think it's implied that he looked into his eyes. He didn't turn around, and he did turn around. He looked at the storm, the situations of life. But it's easier said than done, isn't it, when things are going wrong? Like the disciples before me, I was following where Jesus commanded me to go. It wasn't always easy. We had many battles, troubles, and disappointments. One colleague was killed in a car accident. You can say she gave her life for China. Another died of some mosquito disease. I can't remember now. Dengue fever. It was hard losing them. A bit like Jesus and the disciples must have felt when they heard about John the Baptist. And at those times, we did need to draw aside, withdraw, and pray. In one place, we went to Inner Mongolia. In fact, we had these training programs and medical projects, agriculture projects, and we brought in a team of 40 people to teach English to the teachers and Chinese to them. They were Mongolian native speakers. And the program was closed. So we decided to go prayer walking. Intimidation, police cars, motorbikes, phones calling them. And in those times, the hotline to God, the hotline to Jesus, was the most important thing. Lord, what do you want me to do now? And in that particular moment, with all the police and the intimidation of them following us, I felt God saying, go into that little store and buy a Coke. It was bizarre. Bizarre. I went in and they didn't have Coke. Well, frankly speaking, everywhere has Coke. You know, Coca-Cola. It took some while to find it, but I did find it. I was the only Chinese speaker in the group. So I came out, held it up, and the police disappeared, thinking they'd just gone to buy Coke. Actually, we were on a prayer walk. But we were saved by listening to God and a bottle of Coke. And I handed it to the youngest girl in the group, and she drank it. It was kind of bizarre. Another time in Inner Mongolia, we were doing, we called them culture evenings. And we had 20 minutes. The students went round in a rotation, 20 minutes in Christmas, 20 minutes in Easter, and we always threw in Valentine's Day. They liked that. And Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving. And one group came in, and God very clearly said to me, don't do it, do something else. So I did. The poor team, I was like, well, you just have to follow me. When they were from America, they'd never done this before. Later discovered that the person leading that team, bringing the kids in, was reporting on us to the Public Security Bureau. You need to listen to God. You need to have that constant hotline. It was exciting. It was thrilling. It was really like, I really wanted to show, but I didn't have it and couldn't find it. This film, The Shack, I watched it during the re-entry course that I did. And Mac, the hero, I don't know if you've seen it, walks on the water with Jesus. But he doesn't just walk on the water. He's running on the water. He's having fun on the water. He'd lost his daughter. And this was him trying to come to grips with the trauma. And I find in these situations, honestly, it's like running on the water with Jesus. We've been chased by the police. But honestly, there's something about doing that with Jesus that's just amazing. Just amazing. He is the I Am. In actual fact, there was a lot of persecution, a lot of difficulties. But China started to open up. And I was privileged, we were thrown out of churches and all sorts of things, but I was privileged then to be invited to go into an official church ministry. And we had a great time. We were teaching, praying, leading studies, pastoral things, doing all sorts of things. We weren't allowed to preach, but we did do some preaching training. I don't know if we were very good at it, but we did something. We saw him change lives. Buddhists came to Jesus. It felt a bit like the feeding of the 5,000 after trauma. We saw great things. After the struggles of places like Inner Mongolia. But God was close in that. And then God spoke to me Return to the UK. Step out of the boat. But honestly, stepping out. Before I came back to the UK, somebody gave me a picture. They said, you're standing in front of a lake. Wait for the boat. Don't hurry. The boat will come. When the boat comes, get on it. So I guess I want to say this to some of you. I'm not quite sure why. Your boat. Are you waiting for that boat? Keep waiting. When it comes, get on it. But remember, it involves faith and risk. It doesn't mean it'll be easy, but obey what he's asking you to do. But I felt like I was jumping off a cliff or even dangling off one somewhere. Are you ever afraid that God will ask too much of you? Consider what would be too much. What would be too much for you? Our daily lives are built around spouse, maybe if you're married, children, friends, job, hobbies, church, possessions, future plans. For me, these were all in China. If one of those things in my earthly support system was taken away, it was difficult. What about you? Sometimes it feels like your world is collapsing. Sometimes God asks you to let go of something, like Abraham sacrificing Isaac. Give him up. Will God give it back? Well, in fact, God never intended Abraham to be sacrificing Isaac, but he needed to let go. Do you need to let go today? Anyway, I got in the boat, but he's not surprised by our storms. What's my storm been? Can you imagine? Here's a list for you. Actually, the storm has been that of loss, total loss. Teammates, if you've lost any one of these, I can identify with you. Teammates, friends, ministry, job, colleagues, church, churches, prayer partners, fellowship, and a lifestyle. It's a role, it's a way of being known, of living interdependently and worshiping communally, and even recently letting go of money and thinking, okay. It can be lonely. I need people who understand my lifestyle. Here, okay, that's possible. In Wales, it's a great place. It's me and God. It's you and God together. He's the one thing, the one person that remained the same. Constant. In China, my life was focused. But here, he's asking me to be. In China, I think it was about giving me gifts. Here, maybe more about character, and with my mum, certainly patience. So what are some of the things I can do to be? Awake in the morning and surrender to God's love in any situation. Position myself to hear God, remember his presence in all that you do. Commune with God, allow him to fully indwell in the depth of your being. This is day to day. It's not Sunday. It's Sunday too, but practice silent solitude and a life of unceasing prayer. How do you do that? Resting attentively in the presence of God. Understanding that our earthly life is a journey of transformation to becoming more like him. Who is God? Find out who he really is. And there's several more, but the last one is living in a committed community that passionately loves Jesus above all else. This is from a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter, I don't know how to say it, Scazzaro, maybe. Just be. Have a relationship with Jesus. And the storm of my loss continued with the loss of my dad last year. He died. And suddenly my brother and I became the main carers of our mum. She has dementia. And the storm continued to rage in May this year when the carer provider just suddenly ditched us. They gave us up, saying, they just called and said, we're giving you 28 days notice. Goodbye. God has provided, but the storm continues. But God challenged me, persevere, persevere. Like the child trying to get up the steps, you need to continue. Sometimes it feels like a long, dark tunnel that you're walking through, but you can see the light at the end. But then suddenly the tunnel twists and you can't see anything at all. But God is there. The light is there. Persevere. I know, as do you, you can't rely on what happened in the past or what you've done with or for Jesus. You can't rely on your past acts of faith. You need to persevere in trusting him. It's a journey. If I rely on those things, I'll sink. But we often fail because we don't persevere and we don't trust. Don't forget, it's the relationship with who. Who are you walking to? It is the great I am. So Jesus has challenged me in all of this to withdraw like he did. And he gave me another picture, a picture of an eagle flying, soaring on the winds of the Spirit. And it just felt like I'm soaring in all of the problems, in all of the mess that's life in the UK for me right now, that I'm soaring on the winds of the Spirit. And I can't explain it. And then suddenly the picture changes and it's like I'm sitting on a tree looking around. And I think God is saying, just wait. Are you in the waiting? Are you in the holding pattern? The eagle sits on top of the tree and looks and watches. Somebody said, it's a bit like a waiter. The waiter stands still, but is watching, observing everything, listening. You and God. What's the next? Withdraw. Pray. Where are you? Are you in the phase of feeding the 5,000? It's exciting, it's thrilling, but remember, in that phase, you need that hotline to God. I have that in Inner Mongolia. It was exciting, but it was challenging. It was certainly risky. We could have got into serious trouble. Are you in the phase of just getting on the boat? Or is Jesus asking you, challenging you to get out of the boat and walk to him? We often sing that song, certainly in the church I'm in Wales. I don't know if you do here. All I need is you. Do you sing that here? All I need is you. No, they sing it. But the song keeps going, all I need is you, all I need is you. Is that true of you today? What else do you need? Can you truly say with me today, all I need is you? Do you realize who Jesus is? He is the I am. He is God, the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Are you willing to get out of a boat, if you're in a boat, to step out in faith? Walking on the water doesn't change the storm. And if you sink, it's possible. Spurgeon said it was probably the most intimate place Peter had ever been with Jesus. Hold on, look at his eyes, and call out. I hope this works. The song, Oceans. Close your eyes and listen. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Oh, Jesus, you are my God. I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours. You are mine. Amen.